Hello, and thank you for listening to Tommy Nation Politics. How are you doing today? Good? Well, I hope so, because we are in the middle of a crisis, people. We are in the middle of a crisis. Coronavirus. That's right, guys. The coronavirus. You didn't know it was here? It's here. So, as wonderful, God-fearing Americans, we look to the wonderful safety and security of our government. And after three economic relief stimuluses, the first being Wall Street's $1.5 trillion, the second being slush fund to the banks, making sure that those palms were greased and those politicians were bought for the upcoming election. The Congress finally turned its eye to the people that make the labor in this country. That's right, the working class people. Also, the people living from paycheck to paycheck, trying to put food on the table for their kids. The people that are responsible for production and making sure they maintain the essential jobs that make our country continue to work the way we like it to. But, you know, how many slap in the faces does it take? And also, I have another question. How much money does it take for capitalists to become capitalists, really? Because we bailed you out already. So, if you can't make it now, how much of a loser do you have to be? In, as far as the capitalist system goes, how much of a loser do you have to be to keep on dipping into the cookie jar, taking Uncle Sam's cookies, and saying to yourself, oh, I just want more cookies? Guys, so, but this is finally actually it. This is the creme de la creme. This is the tamale. This is the big tamale here. So what this bill is a story of really is something that started quite good for workers and families. You know, we thought we were onto something with the paid sick leave that we pried from the dead, cold hands of Wall Street's financial stimulus package. But we were going in a direction that I thought that we were excited about. I was excited about it, you know. And then this corporate welfare, I don't care what you want to call it, this corporate socialism, this plutocracy, this crony capitalism, this gag just took off all of the rails, all of this bill. So, I mean, it's just condensed with windfalls of the airline industries, fortuitous, wonderful, too big to failness. Why can't we just nationalize airports? I mean, come on, guys. Think about it. Could it be worse than Continental? I mean, you got your little soda there with your maybe roasted peanuts, and you're looking over at Dolores, the stewardess, and she's trying really hard to give a shit, but she doesn't. And yeah, that's okay. Because you're stuck in a enclosed, encapsulated area, and you can't feel your legs, and you got to put your straight tables in upright position. And then when you get out, maybe you probably left your luggage and unchecked in a security zone. And it's going to take 3 days for you to get clean underwear. I mean, come on. The government can handle this, can't they? Come on, guys. Come on. We don't need these stupid airlines. $17 billion to Boeing. $17 billion. So, I mean, it was pretty much, if you think about it, $4 trillion, counting the $1.5 trillion we already gave to Wall Street. And then, you know, their little bank, you know, they fluffed the banks up a little bit with some cash too. Try to get the bonds, you know, worth shit. And the dollar. We have to, you know, keep our dollar really healthy. Otherwise, everything falls apart because it's not based on anything. So the benchmark accomplishment at the touting small business loans. Congratulations, boo. Congratulations, small businesses. Oh my God, $300 billion for small businesses. Except for the fact that you're too late, guys. You're too late. See, Boo, little boo, those businesses, those small businesses, they closed down the minute you started all of this coronavirus stuff. A small business can't live on like a week's loss of revenue. That's not possible. So whatever small businesses get this, like, I want to know because they're survivors. I mean, maybe the fucking Quickie Marts, maybe the 7-Elevens. So why didn't Bernie Sanders, why didn't any progressive firebrand, progressive idealist, Elizabeth Warren, Tulsi Gabbard, none of them say anything about this? No, they just passed it. Which left Nancy some time to give her own little checklist of political, democratic agenda highlight things. Listen to this. $25 million for the Kennedy Center. $75 million for the National Endowment of the Arts. $100 million for the National Endowment of Humanities. $1 billion for the Postal Service. Now, I mean, come on, guys. Like, all those things, I'm sure we could argue the merits of. However, it's not the time. We're in the middle of a crisis, guys. A crisis. We're in the middle of a crisis. So this was no time to bail out, you know, lame-ass airlines and flyers of military-grade weapons like Boeing. Oh, I guess it is. It's always time, you know. Since Nikki Haley, one of our ambassadors, sat on their board forever, and it's a revolving door from private business like that to politicians, Washington, D.C., but I'm really disappointed in our firebrands. Oh, Elizabeth Warren, you know, she always lets things go. She's got that tough little teacher thing, but, you know, you can walk all over her. Bernie Sanders, ever since you just took it, I mean, you just keep taking it. I don't know, man. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with you, bro? You're too old. Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, disappointed too. Anyone else worth a goddamn salt in their fucking shit in this Congress? I don't know, but I will say this. Joe Biden's a friend of his. And I think this is malarkey. I don't know what he thinks. He's asleep. But this is your Congress that you vote in every single so often. So why should I be surprised? Because it's the two parties. But that's what's going on. You're getting your checks, though. And Wall Street and the banks have once again raided the cookie jar. And we'll see inflation. We'll see those $1,200 go real fast. But you guys think short term, so it's cool. And just remember, kneel or stand for the flag and shit. This interesting progressive insight coming from Matt Stoller, a fellow at Open Markets Program, where he researched the history of the relationship between concentrated financial power and the Democratic Party in the 20th century. Must have been extensive. He's had writings in different articles, newspapers, the New York Times, Vice, Salon, The Atlantic, and more recently, The New Republic and The Nation, which have a few very, very good journalists that still practice journalism, give good practice of journalism.
Well, the whole thing is just annoying and stupid. Look, Dave Dayan and I and a bunch of others that saw this coming have either worked in the Senate. I worked in the Senate. Dave Dayan did reporting on the financial crisis. There's a whole bunch of others, Amanda Fisher and Graham Steele. These are people that know what they're doing. They understand banking law. They were there. All of the justifications that you see for why we had to pass this bill are exactly the justifications that they used to pass the bailout in 2008. It's total bullshit. But I'll start from the beginning, which was last week. Mitch McConnell cut out all of the Democrats and said, here, we need a big corporate bailout bill to address the pandemic. It was an obvious attempt to loot because the stock market was crashing. And at that moment, I wrote a piece on, I think it was on Saturday, saying this was a corporate coup, because there's a whole bunch of dirty slush funds in there that we know about. The Fed is opening up its own slush funds. It's disgusting. But the point is, we knew about it last week. And at that moment, if you want to do something about it, you organize. You get a few people together. You come out. You say, no, this is bad. Don't do this. And then you have a separate bargaining block. And you can threaten to take down a bill. And the debate becomes, should we bail out Wall Street in response to a pandemic, or should we rush immediate relief? And obviously what we need to do is rush immediate relief. But instead of doing that, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and all the other progressives and all the other populists on the right stayed quiet. And that's because Warren is arrogant and foolish, and Bernie is a coward and a loser, and they won't talk to each other because they both have giant egos and they're not interested in actually wielding power. They also both want to be friends with Chuck Schumer. So they stayed quiet until, you know, a couple of days ago, and let Schumer and Michael Bennett and a bunch of others negotiate the bill. Now, something people don't know about Bernie Sanders is that he's lazy and he doesn't actually deal with details. That's why when you actually push him on any details, he can't answer them. What he's really good at is talking to people about, you know, why they don't have wages, and that's important. But honestly, if it wasn't a problem in 1985, he doesn't know how to handle it. Now, all the problems from 1985 are much worse today. So he sounds really good. But all the new things that come up, he can't actually talk about them. This was a new thing. This is a pandemic. He didn't organize. Warren didn't organize. The Progressive Caucus didn't organize. So they were presented with a fait accompli. All of the things in that bill were negotiated by Nancy Pelosi, her leaders, and Chuck Schumer. Bernie had nothing to do with it. He wasn't even in D.C. He never negotiates. It's just not the way that he works. Then at the very last moment, three Republicans come out and say, we think that there aren't enough mercenary-style hunting games of the poor in this bill, so we're going to put a hold on it. Even though for the last 5 days, they've all, Republicans have been saying that Democrats are not recognizing the urgency of the situations, and Democrats were giving no speeches and making no arguments at all about this bill, including Warren, including Bernie. All right. So here you have Republicans saying this is urgent. We have to bail out Wall Street. Democrats saying nothing. Chuck Schumer and Pelosi negotiating with McConnell. At the very last moment, these three Republicans say we need to be meaner to the poor. At that point, bunch of Democrats are trying to figure out, should we vote for this bill or should we not? And Bernie then says, we have to vote for this bill. And I'm paraphrasing, but if these guys are going to hold up the bill, if these guys are going to object to the bill, which means it'll be delayed, then I'm going to object to the bill on different grounds until they drop their objection. And if they drop their objection, then I'm going to drop my objection and I'm going to vote for it. So their objection was based on the fact that you couldn't be mean enough to the poor. But the actual reason that you can't be mean enough to the poor is because the computer systems the government uses are so old and bad that it's actually hard to calculate, impossible to calculate on the timescale that you need how to send out the checks, except in very sort of, except you give everyone $600, but it's hard to make sure that people that don't deserve it don't get it. So before Bernie gives this speech on the Senate floor, somebody asked Trump and Mnuchin at a press conference, what about this objection from Lindsey Graham and Scott and I think a couple of others? And Mnuchin gets up and says, no, we don't agree with this. And Trump gets up and says, no, we don't agree with this. And then a few hours later, McConnell cuts a deal with these Republicans and says, you get to put an amendment up, which everybody knows is going to fail. And that's the deal. You get to get amendments and you get to vote symbolically against giving too much money to poor people. And then we're all going to vote for the bill. Now, in the debate, and I use sarcastic air quotes, Bernie gets up and says, "This what these small group of Republicans want to do is bad. What we want to do is give money to people who are unemployed. And there's a lot of Democrats and Republicans who want to do this." And he says that. He's like, there's a lot of Republicans that want to do this too. And so this is outrageous. It's a complete grandstanding thing for a provision he didn't author. The amendment was a fake fight. It was annoying. The whole discussion was irritating. It was reckless because he didn't bother to organize last week. Neither did Warren, neither did any progressives. The bill is a disaster. It is worse than TARP. Bernie doesn't even understand what's in it. The whole thing is a mess, and I'm embarrassed about the entire progressive space. I think it's shameful. I think it's disgusting that they work for Wall Street and don't even know it. I mean, I'm angry, but you got to understand, I worked in the House and the Senate on the bailouts for 6 years. I have traced housing finance problems. I know a lot about the Federal Reserve. This is not a bunch of rubes coming in and saying that, just being angry about this. These are people who understand congressional process, who understand banking law, who understand bailouts, who understand the Federal Reserve. These are law professors. These are people who think about the operational details of getting money to people who need it. And we're the ones who are angry. And a bunch of dumb, cultist, cosplay leftists are the ones who are building a cult of personality around Bernie, a fundamentally lazy and stupid politician, so that they can protect their moral vanity. It's embarrassing. It's annoying. Shame on them.
Hey guys, this is Tommy with Tommy Nation Politics. How's everyone doing today?